and we are waiting for YOU. Come on in. Join us tonight.
Well, we do trust that you've had a blessed day today. And we praise God for all that he's done and all that he's doing and all that he will do. And we're certainly grateful for God including us in his plan for this day. But truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That was last week right there, Reverend. And so we serve an awesome God, and he is indeed worthy of all of our praise. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for tonight. And we have a very ambitious task before us as we prepare for this study tonight. We're going to tackle chapter 24 and chapter 25, but it won't be as difficult as it may appear, because there are a lot of things in it that we won't cover, but we'll make sure that we get the essence of each of those chapters, because they're going through a lot of listing of the names, and they're still working on the organizational structure in terms of what it's going to look like in the temple. But let us know that the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for our study tonight, First Chronicles, the 24th chapter, as well as the 25th chapter. Is that right, Lady
That's
Kim?
That's correct.
And so we praise God for each of you and those who will join us as we prepare for this time together. Let's have a word of prayer. We have a lot before us, and hopefully we'll be able to cover both of those chapters and give our review as we always do. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for including us in your plan for this day. And we understand clearly that this is indeed the day that you made. And so we will rejoice and be glad in it. God, you've been faithful. You've been kind. You've been just. You brought us from a mighty long way. You brought us all the way. And for this, we give you praise. And so now, God, even as we prepare for this time together, we pray that each person that participates in a part of this study tonight, that they will be blessed as a result of participation, and then that their faith will increase, because you said in your word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. Now, God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
All right. We had a couple of people said that the sound was clear.
Yes, on the streaming side and on the Facebook side.
Okay, that's great.
All clear.
We're Wonderful. Glad that we got a good connection. And we're certainly grateful for each of you who have joined us tonight. Well, Lady Kim, another powerful time in the Lord this weekend. This weekend was another exceptional time of prayer, praise, and worship. And then we had an opportunity to also do some outreach. And I tell you, it's just amazing how God is just sustaining us in this season. Tell us a little bit about what the Lord spoke to you about as we went through the worship experience on yesterday.
Well, again, another phenomenal Sunday. I think, you know, so many breakthroughs happened, because you talked about you were created for more.
Mm-hmm.
You were created for more. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think about that.
Right.
We think we are created for the right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or we are created for what has already taken place.
Okay.
But we have been created for more. God, when we connect with God and his perfect plan and his purpose for our lives, then more comes our way.
Okay.
So, okay. You were created for more. You came from John 10:10, and that's a very familiar passage of scripture that says, "The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to kill and destroy.
Right.
But I come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Who is the they that they're
that's
talking
right,
about?
That's right.
Come that they might have life. And he's talking about Christians,
mm-hmm.
talking about us, that once we accept Jesus Christ, you know, we have an advocate.
Okay.
We have an advocate. And we know the thief is always there. We know what a thief is. Mm-hmm. He comes to rob us. He comes to take from us. And this particular scripture says to steal, to kill, and destroy. You know, so they're not taking any hostages.
Okay.
The enemy is trying to destroy it all.
Wow.
You know. Wow. And so Jesus is saying that he has come that we might have life more. And you emphasize that word more.
Right.
More abundantly. And abundantly means overflow.
Overflow.
Mm-hmm. Overflow. And so,
yeah. More than enough.
Yeah.
And before you go to the points, I was really inspired. I had a conversation with my good friend and brother, Dr. John Tunstall in Los Angeles, just checking in on him to see how he's doing since he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a difficult task, but he said he's just getting some rest, you know, because of the length of time that he served faithfully. And I would dare not even try to count the number of Sundays and the times that he's participated in the lives of others through funerals, weddings, baptisms. And so he says he's just resting on Sundays. And the first thing he does when he gets ready to start his morning is he turns to ATOP's worship service. And we're a couple of hours ahead of them. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so, And so the whole basis for his ministry there in Los Angeles, the Abundant Life Christian Church, was his theme scripture was the one that we focused in on yesterday, John 10:10. And that's one of my favorites as well. And so he really just kind of inspired me as I just kind of shared with him what I was thinking about. And then he was on yesterday, and we said a word, and people gave him thumbs up and everything and showing their appreciation. But that was really kind of the essence. After God began to speak to me, I wanted people to understand that the resurrection experience is still alive and well, and that we ought not just allow that to be an event for us in a once in a year, you know, experience, but it should be an ongoing experience. And as a result of all that Jesus did for us, dying on the cross, giving his life so that we might have life, and not just any kind of life. He said, I've come that you might have life, but I also come that you might have it more abundantly. And so that's amazing to me. And so that was the driving force for me as I shared this word on yesterday. But tell us a little bit more about the points. And I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just wanted to throw that in about my good friend and brother in Los Angeles.
Amen. Well, one of the things you talked about is that we have to protect what we already have.
Okay.
Protect what we already have. And if we do that, then God will give us more.
That's right.
We gain so much, but it's easy to lose.
That's right. That's right.
If we try to go back or look back or, you know, I'm just going to do something that I used to do just one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We can easily lose ground that way. So we have to protect what we already have and move forward, and God will give us more.
Mm-hmm.
You said protect your purpose.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody was created with a purpose, you know, and protecting my purpose is far greater than my ambition. Mm-hmm. It's far greater than my happiness. My purpose is far greater than my career.
That's right.
You know, so your purpose ultimately is what God has created you to do, mm-hmm. and to be as a person. And so we all have purpose. And people who don't know their purpose, you said, are doing too much. You know, they're doing too much because, you know, they're so busy doing stuff.
That's right.
They can't narrow in or target their purpose.
That's right. That's right. And they are consumed by all of these things and all of this stuff, till they really end up just going through the motions, mm-hmm. and missing the master. And so we have to make sure that we understand our purpose, because one of the things that happens when we are aligned with our purpose, the enemy gets frustrated because he knows that if we start operating in our purpose and we don't be all over the place, scattered all over the place, that we're going to have a major impact for the kingdom. And so he tries to steal our purpose. He tries to make sure that we're confused and that we are not in sync with what God has designed us for, and that we're doing all of these other things according to what the world requires and not according to what the Word would have us to do.
Amen. Amen. Another thing you said, we need to protect our possessions. Mm. Protect our possessions. Mm-hmm.
You wanted to say a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, what we possess are, I'm trying to think of a scripture that it says, we have this treasure. That's in good. Earthen mm-hmm. vessels.
Mm-hmm. That the excellency and the power might be of God.
And not of us. That's right. It. And that's I was right. trying to remember all of that. Mm-hmm. But we have a treasure that God has given us. And so that is a possession worth That's keeping, right. worth right. protecting. And so whatever it is that God has entrusted in us, the treasure that he's given us, we have to protect that with all of our being.
Mm-hmm. So, and when people think about possession, they think about material
things.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's that spiritual thing that the enemy is after. It's that, that focus that you have in terms of being clear. You know, in terms of what you have on the inside, he wants to snatch that out of you so that you won't be effective. So you got to protect your possessions. You got to protect your anointing. You've got to protect everything that God has entrusted you to do in terms of helping to build up the body of Christ. And many times when we don't operate in our gifts and we don't function in our lane, you know, the enemy is sitting back laughing because he knows that we're not going to accomplish very much mm-hmm. because we're all over the place again and we're doing too much. But when we understand and we're clear that we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we're a peculiar people. In times past, we were not a people, but now we are a people of God. Peter says we need to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That leads right to that third point right there, doesn't it, Lady Kim?
Mm-hmm. That we need to protect our praise.
You got
to
protect your praise, you know, because, you know, just like we talked about Palm Sunday, how many times, and I was saw a new look of that when the Pharisees, they really became upset when they noticed how the people were praising God. And they got so upset till they said, Master, have them to be quiet. Can you quiet them down? You know, can you tell them to be quiet? Shh, hush, hush, shh, shh. Jesus said, these don't praise me. I got some rocks that'll cry out for me. And so the enemy wants you to be null and void when it comes time to give God praise. But when I think of his goodness,
hallelujah,
glory God, and all he's done for me, I can't keep still, don't you see? I can't let the rocks cry out for me. And so I've got to praise him. And so you ought to praise him because God has been faithful. He's been kind. He's been just. He's been merciful. He's brought us all the way.
All the way.
And he's looked beyond your faults and he's gotten right to your needs. And you're not here by coincidence or it's not an accident, but it's because of the providential care that God has placed on your life. And here it is. He loves you too much to leave you where you are.
Amen. You also talked about how knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life.
That's right.
You know, if you don't know your purpose, then you drift aimlessly through life, mm-hmm. doing this, doing that, going here, going there, following this person, following that person. But if you know God mm-hmm. and you find your purpose in him, know God, no purpose.
Wow.
Knowing purpose gives us direction.
Wow, that's powerful. All right. Well, I really had a great time, and I think the people were really blessed as a result of that word as well. And we give God the glory and the honor. And so we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to say and do. And Lady Kim will be coming up pretty soon here, as she's been heavily vested in her studies and working through this doctoral program. Her eyes are weary, and sometimes she's up early in the morning and up late at night. And so I see her when she's leaving and when she's coming back home.
And you see me now?
I see you now. I see her right now. But she's going to be up real soon, and we'll let you know. Any comments there that we need to share as we prepare to move forward? But not only did we have a great time in our Sunday school, of course, that's always the first measure that helps us to get motivated. And we have intercessory prayer before our worship service. And I tell you, we have some powerful intercessors.
Amen.
And I think, Lady Kim, that's some part of the driving force behind people being ready when the worship experience starts. They're already in Sunday school. Our Sunday school is growing. And we praise God for, I think that Sister Rucker is on there. Is she on?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And we praise God for your leadership, Sister Rucker. And we know that it's not an easy task, but you got people around you and surrounding you. And several people that even indicated they wanted to become
teachers. Yes.
And so the men's class is strong, the adults' class. And Jeannie was telling us that she had five young people in her class.
Amen.
And so the young people are coming in. And so we praise God for your leadership, Sister Rucker. And we know that helps to get the fire burning as we prepare for worship. And then the prayer before service starts.
Amen.
Helps people to settle themselves, mm-hmm. and get ready for what God is about to do.
Amen.
And I think that helps tremendously in terms of what we can expect when it comes time for the worship experience.
And I want to encourage those that are listening, if you don't make it, if you haven't been to Sunday school, make it a point to press your way. I bet if your boss told you had to be at work an hour early, you would show up.
Uh-oh.
Amen?
That's right.
Looking for that extra $15 for that 1 hour. But God gives us so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you, press your way, push your way to Sunday school. Make an extra effort to get there on Sunday morning to start your week off right.
That's right.
With the study of God's word. We have an awesome time. The kids have awesome teachers. The young adults have an awesome
powerful
teacher.
Teachers.
We have teachers for every age
That's
level.
Right.
The
That's
men
right.
have an awesome time.
That's
so
right.
Make the extra push for Sunday school. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed.
You won't be disappointed.
8:30 a.m. Come on, join us for Sunday school at 8:30 a.m. Amen.
That's
and
right.
then we go into intercessory prayer and then the worship service. And then guess what? Your week is off to a great start.
Start.
Great
That's right.
start.
That's right. And, you know, we had a pleasant surprise on Sunday when I extended the invitation. Our youngest daughter, Tiara, came forth, and I didn't know what it was all about. And from looking at her mom, it was a pleasant surprise to her as well. And so what did she have to...
She said she just felt God was leading her because she wanted more. She knows there's more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And so she wants to be rebaptized. And so we're going to make sure that we baptize her this Sunday coming up. And so we praise God for how she's listening to what God is saying. And then after the worship service, Lady Kim... You know, we said that we were going to have each of the ministries to be responsible for going with us on the outreach each fourth Sunday. And I tell you, the bus was full.
Amen.
And we had two carloads that were following. And so I was just overjoyed. And the young people were out and they were participating. And we went on the tour of one of the shelters and they had an opportunity to see people who really just fell on bad times for whatever reason, you know. But it gives them a perspective early on to know that they have to be, they have to understand just how blessed they are.
Amen.
And not That's take it. That for granted.
That's
you know?
It. Our children are so abundantly blessed.
That's right.
You know, they can get up and, first of all, they can wake up in a warm place or a cool yeah. place if it's hot.
Right.
You know, they
right.
have a bed to sleep in. They have a roof over there at the same place every night. You know, they don't have to be worried about other people or strangers in their territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can go to the refrigerator. It might not be what they want to eat, but I bet there's something in there
That's
to
right.
eat
That's right.
that they can take out and warm up or make them a sandwich, you know. And some people don't have any of that.
That's
so
right.
they had the opportunity to see just how blessed they really are.
That's right. And so we had 30 plus volunteers that went out on yesterday. And I tell you, it was just amazing. They were serving. And we go to one place right down town. When we pull up in the parking lot, the people coming from near and far, and they're getting hot meals. And hats off to our volunteers who work in the culinary ministry. And Lady Kim has a little gift for y'all that she hadn't given them. Oh, I shouldn't say nothing about that. I'm
That's
sorry.
That's not for the culinary.
It what?
That's our teacher appreciation.
Oh, okay. I was talking about that other box that you had for Miss Amelia that you had.
Oh.
She know anything about that?
No.
That's what doesn't. I was talking about. And you know what? Let me say this. We gotta go ahead and get into this study. But yesterday was just amazing. And you know, I look back over the service, you know, after service, and just kind of see the flow. The praise team was on point. And then one of our ministers, Minister Loretta Perkins, I look back over that prayer, and I tell you, Lady
she
Kim, that was a powerful prayer.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if she's on tonight
she
or not.
Is
she? Okay. Mm-hmm. But no, that was powerful, and I just give God glory. And she went right on in. She didn't waste very much time. She said, let's pray. Come on, y'all. Let's pray. And I'm telling you, that was a powerful prayer. If y'all were not present, go back and capture that prayer from yesterday's worship service, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying is true. But let's jump in, Lady Kim. We got two chapters we're trying to cover. Somebody say amen if you were in the service yesterday and you had an opportunity to hear that powerful prayer by Minister Loretta Perkins, prayer warrior, intercessor. Somebody say amen. But we're going to jump right in. We have two chapters we're trying to cover tonight. We're going to try to cover chapter 24 and chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles. There are about 31 verses in that 24th chapter, and then there are about 31 in the 25th chapter as well. But this really, Lady Kim, is just an organizational process that is happening here, as they are pulling together all of the priests. And we talked last week about the assignments that were given out and how people were reactivated into their rightful place and their role and what they would have to do in the temple. And now we see here in chapter 24 how Aaron's descendants have an exclusive assignment of ministering before the ark. And then you're going to also see how they go through the process of continuing to lay out assignments as it relates to who's going to do what. And then the remaining Levites, the tribe of Levi, the Levites, they were given some additional assignments in terms of their role and their responsibility in the temple.
Amen. And I think we established last week that the tribe of Levi is the Levitical tribe that serves in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And some are priests and some are not.
That's right.
But those who are not also have temple responsibilities.
That's right. That's right.
You know, all priests are Levites,
mm-hmm.
but all Levites are not priests.
Okay. Okay.
So, but all Levites have a role to play, mm-hmm. when they serve in the temple.
Okay. Okay. So part of what we're going to see is just a lot of different names of individuals in terms of the sons of Levi, and also you're going to see some of the names of Aaron and his lineage. And then, so I'm trying to see how we're going to break this out in terms of what you want to read. Maybe we'll read down to verse number 19, and then I think the rest of those verses, it talks about the other Levites as you close out to verse 31. But anything else you want to interject in that before we start reading?
No.
Okay. Chapter 24, First Chronicles.
I'm reading from the Message Bible. I read from several different translations to see which one speaks to me and makes the most sense at the time. And so between the New King James Version and the Message Bible, I chose the Message Bible. First Chronicles 24, beginning with the first verse, the family of Aaron was grouped as follows. Aaron's sons were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Nadab and Abihu died before their father and left no sons. So Eleazar and Ithamar filled the office of priest. David assigned Zadok from the family of Eleazar and Ahimelech from the family of Ithamar, and assigned them to separate divisions for carrying out their appointed ministries. It turned out that there were more leaders in Eleazar's family than in Ithamar's, and so they divided them proportionately, 16 clan leaders from Eleazar's family and 8 clan leaders from Ithamar's family. They assigned the leaders by lot, treating both families alike, for there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of God among both the Eleazar and the Ithamar families. The secretary, Shemaha, son of Nathaniel, a Levite, wrote down their names in the presence of the king. The officials, Zadok, the priest, Ahimelech, son of Abithar, and the leaders of the priestly and Levitical families. They took turns. One family was selected from Eleazar, then one from Ithamar. And then it goes on from 7 through 18, telling how the lots fell.
Okay.
So one family, Eleazar, would choose, and then on the other side, then the next person of the next family of Ithamar, they would choose. And it went back and forth like that until all were selected.
Can you drop down to verse 19, or does it set it up like that?
Verse 19 says, mm-hmm. They served in this appointed order when they entered the temple of God, following the procedures laid down by their ancestor Aaron, as God, the God of Israel, had commanded him.
Okay. And so this whole section from 1 through 19 really kind of lays out the divisions of the priest.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're dealing with Aaron's ancestry here and his tribe as they began to distribute responsibility and as they make assignments mm-hmm. during this time.
Mm-hmm. And each of these individuals had a time in which they served in the temple.
That's right.
So their time, you know, you might serve and then your time might not come around again.
That's
for,
right.
you know, 6 months or a year. It just depended on how many people were in the rotation mm-hmm. at the time.
Mm-hmm. And then when you look at 20 through the remaining portions of this particular scripture, it starts talking about those other Levites
mm-hmm.
and gives a description of the rest of the sons of Levi
mm-hmm.
because many of them had already been given assignment in the previous chapter.
Right.
And so now we see the other tribes and the sons begin to get their assignments and understanding their roles.
Mm-hmm.
So it was similar to what had happened with Aaron. Because Aaron's family tree, because they began to cast lots and they began to call each other's name in terms of when they would have an opportunity to serve. And as you indicated, that process, based upon when they served, they might not have gotten another opportunity to serve for 6 months or maybe even a year mm-hmm. once they had started their original assignment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that moves us over to chapter 25, mm-hmm. unless you have something else, and then just kind of give us a capsule that we can just kind of wrap around verse 24. We're going to move into chapter 25.
Yes, because as you stated before, you know, it's just this chapter goes through the names of the sons of Levi and how their lots were chosen mm-hmm. from verses 20 through 31.
Okay.
So,
what would be a nugget for us to carry away from chapter 24, Lady Kim?
Well, one of the things I saw in this is that every Christian is to desire serving.
Okay.
And not to desire power.
Wow.
Since no one has the right to hold a position forever.
Okay.
So, you know, these Levites, they had a turn in which they were to serve. And everybody ought to desire to serve.
Okay.
We need to all desire to serve. And so the good thing about it is that we can serve all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait for our time to come around again.
Okay.
We can serve. And since no one has the right to hold a position forever, we need to serve for how long and as well as we can while we can.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And not get caught up in trying to get a title or a position or try to be controlling and having power.
Amen.
But our service, by far, God honors that when we serve. And we have so many great servers at ATOP. I tell you, it's just amazing. The volunteer, and I praise God for them. And, you know, it's just amazing how people serve. And many times without even being noticed or their names have not even being called. But
Amen.
God has continued to show favor toward us at any time in that regard.
Amen. That's yeah. right. And so, well, just to wrap up chapter 24, you know, it's about the division of the priests and of the Levites, which continues from the previous chapter, like you stated at the beginning mm-hmm. of the Bible study, mm-hmm. where David turns the kingdom over to his son Solomon. So he wants to make sure, he being David, wants to make sure that when he dies, everything will be in order for his son Solomon, and Solomon takes on the lead without the guidance of his father.
Okay, okay. And so we move into chapter 25, and one of the titles that we see, chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles, there are 31 verses here as well. One of the titles that we see, it deals with the musicians and their role and their responsibility in terms of how David had established three different, ranks or three different categories of musicians under his supervision, and then how he also, some of the Levites David appointed for musical accomplishment of the temple worship, and how they had a role there as well. And all of these different age groups, he had them set up in different categories so that they would be in the same age group or the same kind of responsibility would be attached. So it was not like they had somebody that was much older and somebody younger, but the younger people worked together, middle age worked together, and perhaps those who were seasoned worked together, and they were divided into 24 courses like the priests were. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what we're going to see as you prepare to read here. And I think once we get around to verse number 10, then we're going to fall back into the same thing that we did in chapter 24, where it's just the names of those who are taking on those responsibilities. And here it is, the musicians are really in categories of three different categories and their responsibility for service in the temple.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So I should read from 1 through 10?
Yeah, we'll do that first and see where we are.
Okay. Reading from 1 Chronicles, the 25th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Next, David and the worship leaders selected some from the family of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun for the special service in preaching and music. Mm-hmm. Here's the roster of the names of the assignments. From the family of Asaph, Zachor, Joseph, Nethilim, and Asarel. They were supervised by Asaph, who spoke for God, backed up by the king's authority. From the family of Jethulam, there were six sons: Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshua, Shimei, I can't see these names, Hashabah, and Mattathiah. They were supervised by their father Jedaliah, who preached and accompanied himself with the zither. He was responsible for leading the thanks and praise to God. Mm-hmm. From the family of Heman, Bukalai, Mattathai, Uziel,
Read, Lady
Shubiel, Jerimoth, Hananiah, Hania, Eliathah. See all these names? I'm going to make you read that.
Is that Rockwilder? But here it is.
These were the sons of Heman.
Right. That's right.
The king's seer. And they supported and assisted him in his divinely appointed work. God gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters.
Isn't that something? And so this is part of how God, the families have responsibility to provide leadership and direction in the worship experience, but they also had their father, if he was still alive, to be the one who would orchestrate and help them and assist them in terms of understanding the roles and responsibility. And so, you know, as you were reading that, Lady Kim, I was thinking about how many times we have to make sure that what we try to instill, particularly in our young people and in our children, that they don't see one thing while they're at home and something else different when they come to worship.
Amen.
But it's a consistency, and then they will appreciate more what you're trying to instill with them in the house when they see that you are under some kind of discipline in the church.
Amen.
You follow me?
Yes.
And so this is what I see coming out here in these particular verses, that they were not confused about what their parent or parents were instilling in them, because they saw it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And so it is with us and with us and our children and those who are surrogates. Well, they need to see it in action, and they need to take ownership. I was so proud of our little grandson, Carter. Tiffany brings him around for the give each mm-hmm. Sunday, and he places his little dollar or whatever it might be in the offering plate. And so it's setting him in motion. At how old is he? 6 years old, to know that he has a responsibility to give in the house of God, mm-hmm. and he sees his grandparents as well as his parents providing leadership, and it's a consistency so that when his time does come to take on rightful leadership in the church, it won't be foreign to him, and he'll understand the whole process of being in worship. He has a little instrumental gift, I believe. He likes the drums, but he will understand. He didn't just get it by somebody telling him, but he saw it in motion.
Amen.
That's the whole point. And the same thing is happening right here. And so it is with those of you who are listening. Your kids and your grandkids, and even your surrogate kids, they need to see your faith in motion. They need to, you don't need to just preach them down and continue to tell them what they ought to do, but they need to see it happening in your witness and in your service to the Lord.
Amen. And one of the things I see here too is that everybody had a role to play.
That's right. That's right.
They had some that were preaching, some that were singing, some that were the king's seers, those that prophesied, those who were appointed to work in the temple, those that supervised others and were in charge of leading the singing and providing the musical accompaniment, those that played the instrument. So everybody had a role to play.
That's right.
In the temple and in the work of worship in the sanctuary of God. And so even though they all had a role to play, I think in verse number, let's see, what verse is that? Verse number 7, it says that they all took their orders directly from the king.
That's right.
They were all well-trained in the sacred music, all of them masters. And guess how many there were?
How many?
288.
Wow.
That served.
Isn't that something?
288. If we can get 28 to serve faithfully,
that's right,
we're doing good. Yeah. You know, but they had 288
that they could count on.
That knew their role, that knew their place, that functioned well. And it says they were well trained.
Well trained.
Well trained.
Skillful.
Yes, very skillful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they continue to work doing their job joyfully.
That's
right. In the house of the Lord.
And we can pause there, Lady Kim, because just like in chapter 24, we'll see that when you get around the verse number 9, it just really gives you the division of the musicians, and they are all listed there. And they go down that list all the way to about verse number 31, talking about what you just shared in terms of their responsibility. And they were eager and they were ready, and they had a visual because of what was instilled within them from their parents. And it also, there's also a word here about being under supervision and under authority, you know? And a lot of times people want to do their own thing and be long rangers, but all of us should be under some kind of supervision
That's
and some
right.
kind of authority
yes.
when it comes to the things of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm kind of suspect of people who go out in ministry and they're not under a minister.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have
A pastor. Right.
They don't have someone that they can to come to for
a
guidance,
mentor. That's right.
There's something wrong with that kind of a relationship. You should always have someone that you can count on.
And be accountable to.
Right. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. And you know what I noticed about verses 9 through 21? I didn't look this up. Maybe I should have. I wonder if there's something significant about the number 12. Because it talked about, you know, when the lots came or when the divisions were set up and they were listed below. Every last one of them said, you know, from the first lot came Asaph to Joseph the second, you know, and his brethren and the sons were 12. And then it says the third, Zichor, his sons and his brethren were 12.
That's
and
right.
the fourth is Izri, he, his sons and his brother were 12. And it goes on and say, names all these people, his sons and his brethren were 12. So
That's
I'm wondering if there is a significance to that number of 12. Why there were, in all cases, when the lots fell, these people had the number of 12 within that tribe, within that family,
right.
within that family, because they were all of the tribe of Levi.
That's right.
So that's interesting.
It is.
From 9 to 31, mm-hmm. all of them had 12.
And that's how they really closed out that chapter, talking about the organizational division and how they were divided up. And that had a lot to do with determining the success and the importance of the assignment that they were given. And so we have to make sure that we're under leadership and that we understand the protocol and the process. Sometimes that trips people up and you can almost tell when they have not had any kind of mentorship or they have not been under any kind of protocol or process. They want to fly off and just do things the way they think it should be done. But it's a process. And the God we serve is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants things done decently and in order. And Paul instilled that into the church at Corinth. And so it is with us. We don't need to just be doing stuff just to be doing stuff. But it should be done in a timely fashion and in order. And those triggers, Lady Kim, for people who have had problems with leadership or who have had problems with authority, it shows up in the midst of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you will find people rebelling mm-hmm. to leadership and authority because of some things that have happened in their past mm-hmm. or maybe even something that's happened in their family.
Mm-hmm.
But in the house of God, you know, if just like your vision and your mission, if you don't have a vision and a mission statement for your own life, it's going to be very difficult for you to buy into and understand how important it is for you to be a part of the vision and the mission of the church.
Amen.
And that's so great. We talk about that very much so when we go through our Leadership Institute. And I'm so excited about all of the new members who have joined. And the families were with us yesterday. And most of our new members that joined have expressed an interest in outreach. You could see the antennas and you could see it in their spirit how they were taking notes and they were looking and they were observing. And they had, I'm sure, some ideas and some questions. And we're going to pull that group together and just talk a little bit more about what did you see and what do you think we can do to improve, you know, because some people are longing for a sense of structure and a sense of accountability. And some people want to be a part of something that holds them accountable and not just be doing it and everything. And I tell you, it works. It works. It works. It works. And God gets the glory and God smiles and he's happy when he sees the body of Christ working together as
Amen.
One.
Amen.
That's Amen. It. And that's what I see here in this chapter, because David really, he made sure that he drilled down real deep and set his son up to succeed in terms of, you know, what he had instilled in him and he let him know how important it was for him to have structure and have people staying in their lanes. Mm-hmm. That's one way of putting it.
Amen.
And people were doing things according to the protocol that had been established. And it didn't just start in the temple. It started in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm preaching a little bit tonight, but any comments, anything that we need to share?
Just people's amen.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Agreeing.
Okay. And so that really kind of brings us to the close of this 25th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you see anything that we can hang our hat on there that will help us get clarity around this chapter, Lady
Kim? We're just recapping the chapter, you know, that the division included the priesthood divided in by lots into 24 sections.
Mm-hmm.
They all had responsibilities, and then the rest of the sons of Levi, of course, using lots again, did the same for their younger brethren.
Mm-hmm.
So they all had responsibilities. They all had jobs to do within the temple. And as people of God, we have a job to do also within the temple. Which goes along with your sermon on Sunday, that you were created for more.
That's right.
There's a job for you to do in the temple that will extend beyond the temple.
That's right. That's right.
So who is the temple? Well, first of all, we are the temple.
That's right.
We are the body of Christ, the temple of God. And we are to demonstrate the temple without the temple, you know.
Outside of the temple.
So, you know, we're ready for the God to send in the harvest.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need to bring in the harvest.
That's right. That's right.
But we need the laborers in which to do it.
That's right.
And so it first starts in the temple by getting prepared through worship, praise, prayer,
study. That's
music.
Right. That's right.
Music was so important in the temple.
Absolutely.
It set the atmosphere for worship.
Set the tone. That's right.
Yes. And so there's a role for all of us to play.
And we have some people who are sitting in the audience that really are sitting on their gifts, and they're not utilizing them. I want to encourage those of you who were in the choir at one point to go ahead and come to choir rehearsal. Those of you who were teachers at some point, go ahead and get acclimated into the Sunday school. And then when the next Institute for Leadership Training starts, go through that process, identify your gifts, understand what your gifts are, you know.
And how they fit into the larger
work. And how they fit into the larger work, and get busy, you know. And so we're still trying to assign some people to open areas of ministry that are looking and longing for leadership, with our singles ministry and our young adult ministry and our children and youth ministry
and
our women's ministry. So many openings, and people are just kind of, God has called us to do more than just come to church on Sunday morning and go back home and say, then we'll have a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
But he wants all of us to be involved in using our gifts. And it's going to attract others, you know. And if you do it without selfish motives and not trying to please man, but you're doing it to please God, God's going to give the increase. And so we had a conversation yesterday about how when we were praying that the Lord would send forth laborers. And we went in the new members class and couldn't do nothing but smile, because the same things that we had been praying about was what God had put right in front of us. And so we have to continue to pray and ask that God send forth laborers into the into the vineyard, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he closed out by saying, I pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the vineyard. And so it is. That needs to be a prayer for us. And then we need to take the initiative of making sure that we invite somebody. I want to just challenge this group as we prepare to close, Lady Kim. If you can invite at least four people to church, if you don't say anything, they might not ever come. But if you say something, then you might be catching somebody right at the right time, and God might speak the right word to them that they need to hear when they show up. Would you agree with me on that?
He always does.
That's right. That's
he
right.
always speaks a rhema word into the life of someone who takes the initial step.
Absolutely. So that's basically the lesson for tonight. We covered two chapters, 24, and we did 25. And so we want you to go ahead and list your prayer requests, if there are any. And we want to have Lady Kim close us out with prayer tonight. But we're so grateful for what God is doing. And I just believe that God is setting us up, Lady Kim, the church, talking about ATOP, to be a model ministry for others to really see it in motion and see how it's done. And I believe leaders are yet coming forth that have not really shown their gifts, and that we're going to be a ministry that will be God will be pleased with.
Amen.
And others will be coming to see how we were able to get it done. I just believe that in my spirit.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Well, if we have any prayer requests, please put those in the chat. We certainly want to lift up any prayer requests. All right. And so...
Let me say this as you're getting ready to lead us, Lady Kim. We, of course, want to keep James Shotwell in our prayers. You already have him down there. But as we closed out our time together yesterday for our Outreach Sunday, we have been driving by this building every time we go out when we're getting ready to, I think it's on Alabama Avenue. And it was a church, but the structure was of such where they were getting ready to tear it down. And yesterday, as we were going by, and the name of it was Anointed Temple, Anointed Outreach Ministries or something like that. Somebody type it in and tell us what the exact name was. But it was a man out there yesterday, and I had been talking about that before we even got around there, about how we were going to allow that to be a part of one of our outreach ministries on the other side of town. And so we pulled around there, Lady Kim, there was a man back there tearing it down. And so I said, let's pull over and stop and let's talk to this fella. And so sure enough, he said that he was getting ready to just go ahead and tear it down because it had been vandalized and he's not going to try to rebuild it, and he's going to sell it. And so I just hope and pray that, and that might not be for us, but if God, what's for us is for us.
A temple of praise.
What was it?
A temple.
A temple of praise. Mm-hmm. Was it a temple of praise? So if that's for us, then God's going to open that door, and he's going to make it happen. And that can easily be an extension of our outreach, mm-hmm. in terms of what we're trying to do and meeting the needs of those who we service each fourth Sunday.
Amen. Amen. All right. We had several requests to come in as we were, as you were talking, but also we want to add, I had a couple of more I was looking for, but I can't seem to find them right now. But anyway, Brother James Shotwell, we want to continue to lift him up in our prayers. He's at Regional One Hospital. We want to pray for Ada Jones for healing.
Okay.
We want to pray for the Vivian Mitchell's family as they continue to grieve for a loss. We want to lift the Sharkoa Tate's mother who is in the hospital. We also want to lift up all of the schools and all of the students who are in the midst of state testing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very kind of stressful time for especially teachers and administrators as they go through state testing, but also for the children. We want our children to do well and excel and to show growth and gains on these state tests. So we pray for every student who is taking a state test. We also want to pray this coming weekend. We will be having a town hall meeting at Anointed Temple of Praise, and it's focusing on health,
mm-hmm.
or health care, especially men's health.
That's right.
So invite people to come out this Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. for a town hall meeting sponsored by Representative Joe Towns. So we're looking for as many people as possible to support that. We have some professional football players.
That's right,
from the Titans that will be present. So come out and share in that town hall meeting.
Flyer. Here it is right here. Let's see. I thought I had it. Yeah, here it is. Let's see if I can pull it up so you can
Also, you know, we want to want you to keep in mind that graduation recognition will be coming up in June. And if you have a graduating senior, or if you are graduating from college and you are a member of ATOP, this is for ATOP members only, graduating seniors or those graduating from college, your college information is due to the church office so we can recognize you on graduation recognition Sunday. And so the town hall meeting that's going to take place on Saturday at 10 a.m. is straight talk about your health and wellness. Mm-hmm. Get your questions answered. And it's going to be, there are going to be several,
it's too small. Several former athletes, professional football players from the Titans will be present. And then you will have the representatives from throughout the state that are going to be present as well. And Joe Towns is the one who's really pulling this together. And so it's going to be really something that's going to give us everything that we need to understand about health and wellness. And so that's what it's basically going to be all about. But our time has gotten away from us tonight. And so will you go ahead, Lady Kim, with prayer request that you have, and close us out tonight.
God, we thank you for tonight's Bible study and how we need to understand structure and order in the house of the Lord, and how we too must play a role in the temple, because every person's job is important. We thank you, God, for the study tonight. We thank you for all those who have been involved in this study. Now, God, we lift up the prayer request to you. We lift up healing for Brother James Shotwell.
Thank you, God.
Healing for Sister Ada Jones. We lift up healing for Shakoa Tate's mother, God. And, God, we ask for a special blessing to be on the Mitchell family, God, Sister Vivian Mitchell's family, as they go through a period of grief, God. God, we ask that you would lift the heavy burden from them, God.
Hallelujah.
We know your word says weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we're claiming joy for that family,
yes,
right now.
Yes,
we
God.
Ask that you would dispel the darkness, oh God, that you would lift the heaviness tonight, God, that you will go in and breathe afresh upon them, a fresh wind of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, God.
That will cleanse and wipe away the grief and the sorrow. We thank you, oh God, for wonderful memories. We thank you, oh God, that the veil is being lifted. We thank you, God, that the sick are being healed.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, God, that the bound are being set free. We pray a special blessing on our outreach ministry, God. The feeding program, God, let it grow and abound in your grace, oh God.
Even now.
Send more laborers into our vineyard, oh God, to help not only with the feeding program, but with all of the ministries.
Yes,
we claim every ministry position filled in the name of Jesus.
Right now.
We claim every ministry operating as you would have it to operate in the name of Jesus. It shall function in decency and in order.
Yes,
and we
God.
Thank you right now, God. And we thank you for those that are there and those that are to come. We bless your holy name. Special blessings to be upon the town hall meeting this weekend, oh God. And we love you, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God.
Amen.
All right. Sister Theron said that information will be posted on our website right after Bible study. So thank each of you for being a part of this time together. And we hope that you have a fantastic rest of the evening.
And the week.
And the week.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Have a good week.
Be
Love
blessed.
Y'all. Bye.